Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians 4, 1-7 and 11-15. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And 11-15. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
So a Christian died and went to heaven. So as he walked into the gate of heaven, so the angel asked him, which denomination you belong to? And he said, I belong to the Anglican Church. He said, fine, go to room number 27. But when you pass room number 8, just be quiet. So that fellow walked to room what did I say? 27? Obviously, I make this up. So the next one came, and then the angel asked him, which denomination you belong to? And then he said, I belong to the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. That's us, right? And then fine, then you go to room number 125. But when you pass room number 8, just be quiet, okay? So the fellow walked to room 125 and then he walked by room number 8 and then stayed quiet. And then another fellow came and then the angel said the same thing. But now you go to room number 15. But when you pass by room number 8, just be quiet. So the fellow walked by number 8 and be very quiet and then he went to his room. And then finally, another one came and said, I belong to the Mennonite Church. And then the angel said the same thing, you know, you go to room number 17, but when you pass room number 8, be quiet. And then the fellow asked, no, how come are you telling everybody when they pass by room number 8, just be quiet? And then the angel said, well, room number 8 is all the Baptist people, and they thought that they're the only one up in heaven here. Now, so obviously this is a joke, and because in the U.S., the Baptist is the biggest congregation, and then they always think that everybody else is not the truth, and only the Baptist. But we all know that we all go to heaven if we believe in Jesus, and what we believe is, even though there are many denominations, but we share the same faith. It is the faith that unites us together. But when we look at the history of the church, and then we realize that there are many, many disputes between among church itself, between the churches, and there are many splitting of churches, and it is a sad thing. So this morning we look at a topic which happened to be, does this look familiar to you, this topic? No? So where do you find this topic? At the entrance, okay. It's also on your bulletin. This morning I asked someone and said that I never seen this before, and okay, that's not really good. So obviously, today you know that we are looking at our mission statement, our vision statement this morning. Unifying Christ for the mission of God. The scripture that we read this morning, as a prisoner verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Worthy of the calling. So what God is asking us to do in the following verses is a calling. It's a special calling for all of us. So when we see this word calling, then we have to pay attention. It's like someone is calling you, you know, Vivian, then you better wake up, and or Nestor, then you better pay attention, right? That's what he's doing. So it's a calling. God is a calling for us. It's a special calling for us that we live a life that's worthy of the calling. So what is God's calling? God calls us to be united, to be unified as one body. Unity of the body. But if you've been in a church for some time, you know that we sometimes it's nothing that is we are really a unit. We are unified, and very often we have different opinions. We argue like this cartoon, and the church unity workshop has been postponed until the deacons can agree on the date, time, and color of the name tags. I mean, we are not that bad. But you think about it, sometimes we are that bad. Sometimes we are terrible. If you can just quiet and sit down and think about it, you know, we argue sometimes not that much on the important issues like our salvation, our faith. Those we are all very clear. We never argue on those. But sometimes we argue on things, if you can look back and think back, is that the trivial things? They're not important. They're important at that time, but they're not really crucial. We may argue, you know, what do we eat in our welcome lunch, you know, for the newcomers. And the passage that we are going to study this morning is going to teach us a very important lesson. It happens to be our mission, our vision statement. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This morning, we're going to look at the unity of our church, our congregation, our group, or even our fellowship. God calls us to be unified. And the requirement, and Paul started this passage with the requirement, the essential of being a unified church. Be completely humble. Humility is not a word that we like to boast about in our culture, in our Western culture. Humble people sometimes don't get respected. We like people who are like President Trump, strong, outspoken, right? Humble people very often get put behind us. Before Jesus' time, humility was seen not as a desirable quality. But Jesus himself, he personified the meaning of humility. In our Western culture, we always want to be at the front. Our name has to be on the top. And some years ago, there was a movie called The Towering Inferno. Some of the people who are a little bit more mature would have seen this movie. It was the cast, two superstars in those days. I say in those days. And then Steve McQueen and Paul Newman. So if you recognize those two names, then you are probably of my age. And during my time, they are the superstars in movies. And they were put together in this one movie. It's a very famous movie in those days. And now, and they both had the same amount of time in the movie, but whose name should be put first? And it is a very crucial, important, you know, for movie stars, they have their names up on the top, be the first name. You know? So they argue a lot, and then their managers argue a lot, because it's very important. You know? If your name is below the other person, that means the other one is more famous than you, more important. So they eventually they came up with a poster like this one. And you notice, because in English, you read from the left to the right, right? So who is the first name on the left? Steve McQueen, right? So he is the number one star. But then you notice that Paul Newman's name is a little bit higher than his name, right, in the middle. So from the top, so Paul Newman is the star. And if you look at the two photos, Steve McQueen is on the left, and because English go from left to right, and Paul Newman is on the right. But then you also notice that his photo is a little bit slightly, about an inch higher than Steve McQueen's photo. So just to show that they are just equally important in this movie. So in the West, it's very important for us to be strong, up front, on the top, at the left, when you read from left to right in English. But here, Paul is telling us to be humble. The first thing you need to have a unified church is humility, something that we don't always like to be in the Western culture. And then Paul continued to go on gentleness. Gentleness is another character trait that we don't want to be a gentle person, because a gentle person means weak. Right? In the King James Bible, this word is translated as meekness. Meekness often associated with weakness. We don't want to be viewed as a weak person. We want to be strong. But gentleness is not weakness. It's not weak. It's strength under control. It's like a horse. When we tame a horse, then the horse is under your control. The horse is still strong, but it's under control. And Jesus himself associate these two traits, characters to himself. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Matthew 11, 29. For us to be able to serve together in a church, to grow together, to enjoy God together, we have to be humble. And the next thing is gentle. Be gentle to one another. We are all very fragile people. So be gentle. Handle each other with great care. And Paul goes on to say, for us to be able to unify and harmonize as a body of Christ, not only that, we have to be humble with humility, gentle, and very importantly, we have to be patient. Have patience. Have patience on each other. Patience with family is love. Patience with others is respect. Patience with self is confidence. And patience with God is faith. We have to respect each other and try to listen. We are all very good speaker, especially the Mandarin people. I always tell them that they're good in speaking. You can ask anybody to come up and then they can speak for 10 minutes nonstop, and then it makes sense as well. And they're all trained to be very good speakers. So sometimes I said that, if I'm not here on Sunday, anybody can come up here and preach. But be patient. Try to listen. Wait for 5 seconds when you listen to people. Listen to what they have to say. Be patient with your family members. Patient with others. Respect them. Patient with yourself. Don't speak in a hurry. Wait. And bearing with one another in love. Christian unity is more than just sacrifice for each other. And I thank the Lord that many of you have sacrificed a lot of your time, resources for the church, but Christian unity is more than just sacrificing yourself. Christian unity includes affectionate love for each other, and that's most important. A new commandment I give to you, the gospel said, that you love one another. So Jesus commands us to love one another, just I have loved you. And also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13, 34 to 35. And where the Spirit of God is, there must be love. And it's love that keeps us together. We all come from different backgrounds. Even among us, even though you all speak English, but the younger ones, they grew up in a different society, different culture than the older ones. Even the older ones may also be born in Canada. But because we grew up in a different time, we all speak English, we're all born here, but we are different. Not to mention the next group that's going to come in at 11:15, they are totally different. And then the other group in the chapel, people think that when I first started the Mandarin ministry 3 years ago, Sylvia and I went to learn Mandarin because we don't speak a word of Mandarin besides good morning and how are you. So at night we went to study Mandarin, and we thought that once we master the language, then we can serve the Mandarin. They are Chinese speaking, you know, same as the Cantonese speaking, just that they speak different dialects. But then after 12 years, and then I find that it's not true. Learning the language is the easiest part, but trying to learn their culture, be part of the culture, that is the most challenging part. And in our church, we have at least 3 different cultures, the Canadian, Cantonese, which is mainly Hong Kong, and the Mandarin is more complicated because it came from different parts of China, and then there's so many different minority groups. It's a challenge for us to live together under this one roof, to serve together. Sometimes we need to have patience with each other. It is important. It is God's calling that we are called to be one body of Christ. Humility and patience are the surest proofs of the increase of love. So when we have love, it's only when we have love that we have this patience. If you have been parents, then you understand we have lots of patience for our children. Sometimes we run out of it, but most of the time we are patient for them because we love them. God loves us. That's why God has patience with us. So we need to, for us to be unified as one body of Christ, as a church, we need to humble, we need to be gentle with each other, and we need to have patience, and we love bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, the unity of the body of Christ, the unity of the church. We have these arguments, we have disagreements, arguments, but we should make every effort. It is something that we have to make an effort to maintain. The scripture actually said, make every effort, not just light effort, but every effort. We have to try our best with all our effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's only when we are united, when we are together as a body of Christ, that we can serve effectively, that we can grow this church, that the church can be strong. And our ministry, it's only that our ministry can be effective. And then Paul went on to say that, unity of the body is the unity in Christ and truth. Our unity is not just agreeing with each other, Our unity is in Christ. There is one body and one spirit, one God, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There are many ones here. When we baptized during our service, the other two congregations baptized in the afternoon. There are people who baptize in other churches, on the beach, in other parts of the world, but it's only one baptism. We all believe in one God, one baptism. When we participate in our communion the first week of each month, even though we participate in the communion at different times on Sunday morning, but we all are partaking one body of Christ. So it's one communion, one Lord, one faith. So our unity is first in our faith. Our faith in Christ is the same. That's what unites us together. We cannot unite with groups that do not share the same faith with us. So last year, when we applied for the summer student grants from the government, we asked to check a box there to agree with some moral values that we do not share. I know that some of the churches, some other churches, they check the box. Some organizations did that, even though it's against their belief. We did not check it. We sent it in, got rejected twice. The first time they said that you forgot to check this box, and then I sent it back, we did not forget, we just don't want to check the box. And then they sent back two government officials, from two levels of the government. It's almost word by word. I bet they shared that in the emails. It's almost word by word, the same reason, that it's okay for you to check it. You don't have to agree with our moral value, just don't practice it. You can believe what you believe, as long as you don't practice, I guess what they're trying to say is, as long as you don't practice what you believe, it's okay. So it's okay for you to check the box, as long as you don't practice, something like that, which I could not understand. It took me a while to try to understand what they're trying to say. But at the end, I think they're trying to say that, you can believe one thing and do one thing as long as you don't do the thing that against what you checked. And it's okay. So what they're trying to say, just apply for it. We'll give you the money. Just check it. You can believe whatever. You can disagree, but just check it. But at the end, you said, no, we don't. So we did not qualify. We are unified because we share the same faith. So the first thing is we have to. Our unity is based on our faith. And our unity is based on Christ. It's Christ who unites us together. We are one. Jesus said that we are one. Jesus said that, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Our Trinity God, just like our Trinity God, we are one in the faith. And our unity is in Christ. And as we move on this passage, we also notice that this unity is not uniformity, it's not sameness. This unity is unity in diversity, because there are many parts in this body. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built. From him, verse 16, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There are many different gifts that are given to each one of us in the church. Not all of them will be speaking. Not all of them will be teaching Sunday school later, even though I think that everybody should be a Sunday school teacher someday. If you study hard enough, you can teach the Bible.
And some are evangelists. Everybody has different ministry, different gifts. It's like a body. Not all our parts are the hands, the eyes. There are different parts in our body. And they're all joined together, our body parts. And they all feeding, supporting each other to build up this body of Christ. So in the church, we are all different. Even within our English congregations, it's like an iPhone or a cell phone. There are many different parts in it. And not everybody can be the same. If everybody is the chip, then we cannot make a cell phone out of it. Or if everybody is the button, or the screen, or the case, we are all different. Unity is not sameness. It's not that we are all the same. Sameness is not unity. Unity involves diversity. Because we are different, then we unite together. Like a puzzle. If we have played a puzzle, put puzzles together before, you know that even though some of them may have the same color, they're all white or blue, but you know that if we have put puzzles together before, that each piece has to be in that particular location. You cannot put it somewhere else. Even though the color may be same, it's white, but each piece has its own space in the puzzle, in the overall picture. And I thank God that we are a church that have many cultures in this group here. Even this group here, English, I know there's some from Malaysia. I think Pastor Wolf was from Singapore. Pastor Sam from Indonesia. Some are from Hong Kong, Guangzhou. Simo Pei from Taiwan. Jennifer from West Vancouver. Okay. And then if you go to the Cantonese from different places, and go to the Mandarin, that's even more diversified, because don't just say that they're from China. China is a big country. And there are many minority groups, and they are quite different. They even don't eat the same food. So we are all from different cultures, different backgrounds. But I will always tell the Lord that we can serve together, and it's such a beautiful, like this picture, and we can truly live out what God wants all his people to be born together by the same faith through Christ Jesus. And if you come to the Alpha course, and it's just a beautiful picture. It's all three congregation, even though mostly the work is done by the Cantonese, at least the kitchen part is all done by the Cantonese. So one time, it's the last Alpha, and then there's the English Alpha group, and the Mandarin Alpha group, and the Cantonese Alpha group. And then I noticed someone sitting in the Cantonese Alpha tables, that someone that looked like Helen, Elder Gerald's wife. I said, oh, cannot be. No, Helen never joined Alpha. And then, even if it's Helen, she would not be sitting in the Cantonese group. So I walked by, I didn't even say hi, because it cannot be Helen. So it's only a few weeks later, and then I realized that it is Helen. So why is she sitting in the Cantonese tables? And then I realized she brought her parents along, and her parents Cantonese speaking. And praise the Lord, and her parents accepted Christ eventually. Hallelujah. And so excited. It's only a few weeks later, and I said that you're Helen. Because I never expect, it's like seeing Ernest sitting with the Cantonese in the Alpha, and I would not expect, I just think that it would be a look alike. Right? But it's such a beautiful picture that we can all serve together with a common faith, a common goal. To share the gospel. It is the sharing of the gospel and of faith that join us together despite our different backgrounds. Unity through maturity. It's easy to say that we learn from the Bible and to be a unified church, it is a challenge. We all know that. The longer that you serve in the church, then you realize that there's always argument in the church. And it seems to be, it never ends. Unify, and Paul here give us the secret or the solution to unity. Unify through maturity. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect, every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. As I was, and then I Googled and did some search on maturity. And then I read one psychologist, and he said that only 18% of American adults are mature, acting like an adult. The rest are adult teenagers. I go on and then I read the Psychology Today. In America, the immature, it's never too late to grow up. America, from land of opportunity to land of immaturity. And then they went on to say, and then actually, he even have a test there to test how mature you are. I actually did the test. I'm not going to tell you the answer. But I want to read you this. If you want to know if you are a mature person, you can come and ask me for this test from Wikipedia, then you can all look up. In psychology, maturity is the ability to respond to the environment in an appropriate manner. Maturity also encompasses being aware of the correct time and location to behave and knowing when to act according to the circumstances and the culture of the society one lives in. Must be written by a lawyer. But I think all they're trying to say is do the right thing at the right time, in the right place. Like when you are in the surface, don't fall asleep, or check your emails. Or texting. So when you ask to go up here and pray, don't fall asleep. When someone's birthday, say something nice. So that's what it is, right? But it is so difficult, isn't it? So 80% of the Americans cannot do this. Saying the wrong thing or saying the right thing at the wrong place. Even that is immature, isn't it? So how do we measure our Christian maturity? A small child came to his mother and said, "Hey, mom, I grew today. I'm 8'4" this morning." I said, "What?" "Yeah, I measure it. See, yes, it's the scale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of the scale, right? Last week, you measured it's only 4 of the scale. 1, 2, 3, 4. So this morning, I measured it, I'm 8 scale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I am taller this morning." So the mother said, "No, let me look at your scale." Okay, he used the wrong scale. It's a 6-inch scale. So that's why he's 8 foot tall. He thought that he's 8 foot tall. So actually, it's only 4 foot because he used the wrong scale. So how do we scale our Christian maturity? So we measure our Christian maturity against Christ. So Paul is telling us to grow to full maturity in Christ. How do we grow to a full maturity in Christ? Actually, Paul has already told us the secret. And we start with, if you plan to build a tall house of virtues, you must first lay the foundations of humility. Paul actually already told us how to do it. Humility, gentleness, patience, love for others. Do all the best to keep the unity of the church. and our maturity, start our humility. Our salvation actually starts with humility, isn't it? When we humble ourselves before God, the day when we came to the Lord and say that, no, I am a sinner, no, ask for your forgiveness. And that's how that brought us into salvation, is our humility. Church cannot have unity if we cannot have all these virtues, or start with these virtues, humble ourselves, see that the other people is, respect the others, be patient. God is not finished with them yet. Give them time, love them, support them, support each other. Always look after the interests of the other. Who are the mature people? My wife told me. Well, during the potluck, the last person who go up there and get the food is probably the one of the more mature ones, because he wants to make sure that everybody has enough first. He look after their interests first. But it's okay. If the chairperson says that all the seniors will go and get your food first, no, don't feel bad about it. We are a church with great diversity, but it's a blessing. Why is it a blessing? I will tell you why it's a blessing. It's a lot easier to go to a church that has only one culture, one group, one language. It is a challenge, but it is a blessing, because unity is in completing God's fulfilling or doing God's great commission. God wants us to, our unity is not only in our English congregation, not even only in VCAC or in CNMA. That's how we go, right? First, we build our English congregation, and then the VCAC, we help up the other congregation, and then we support the CMMA, but we are an alliance family. But Jesus, when he looked at the unity, his vision is beyond just a church or churches or a denomination. When Jesus prayed in John 17, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus is looking at a much bigger, wider horizon. He's looking at all the people that belong to him, all the people on earth, to the point that Jesus said that I will not come back until the gospel of the kingdom is preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, then I will come back. So Jesus is waiting for us to fulfill this great commission that he has given to us. Jesus, when he thinks of unity, is more than just VCAC. It's talking about all the people. We have to share this faith with all the people, all the nations, different tribes, languages. Revelation 7:9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, a multitude with no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and people, tongues, even different language, maybe within one group, but different tongues, like in China, so many dialects, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They're all worshiping. This is will be the most beautiful worship. I don't know what language they're going to use. Some say it will be Mandarin, because the more people speak Mandarin than other language. But I'm sure it's not Mandarin. It's a different, it's a heavenly language. But there, we can see all the people from all nations, tribes, tongues. And I think this is the unity, the body of Christ that Jesus was thinking in John 17, verse 22, when he said that, you know, all his people will become one. Our oneness, our unity goes beyond just our church. It's all the people that belong to him, not just the Jews, the Israelites, the Gentiles, all the people. different languages. That is the Great Commission. And that is the mission, our mission, our vision statement. We unified not only, well, first we have to unify among ourselves. If not, we cannot even serve within our body of Christ. But our vision is broader than that. We have to build up this body of Christ with people from all nations. But obviously, we cannot save everybody on this earth, but that's our vision. We would welcome, embrace, we send our missionaries out. We embrace people from different cultures. But before we can do that, God put us here. If you cannot even stand the people sitting next to you, I'm not saying you too, right? And if you cannot stand the people who are coming in at 11 o'clock because they sing different songs, we cannot stand the Mandarin-speaking people because of their culture. So how could we embrace people that are even in a more diversified culture than us? But unfortunately, sometimes it's easy for us to embrace people in faraway countries, a different culture, than for us to embrace the people sitting in our midst. It's the same that sometimes we can love people that we don't really know, but cannot love our family members. But God wants us to start our unity here first. Learn to love the one sitting to you, next to you. Learn to be patient with the people that in a different congregation. Love, embrace them. But then we will, once we can to learn, through this we can learn then how to embrace the people that's outside the church, in a different culture, different countries. And that is God's plan for the church, that we're all one body of Christ. To end, I'd like to read this from Dr. Mark Rutland. Without a clear mission under God, our efforts at finding unity serve no purpose but to impress ourselves. In this careful balance between our nature of oneness and the mission of making him known is the clearest example of being whole, being a whole integrated people. In unity exists power, like our Alpha Course, just a small little example. Or in our mission funds, when all the mission CNMA churches join together, our mission funds, we can send missionaries to every part of the world. In unity exists power, completeness, and the beauty of our common Lord, because that's what Jesus wants us to be. Truly a new day is before us, a day in which the disconnected pieces of the puzzle are gradually and gracefully connected until the world can get the picture of who the church is and how we all fit into the master's original plan, that we are all one big body of Christ. But we'll start that from ourselves. Let's start with our spiritual growth to maturity with our life. Let's learn to be more like Christ each day, to learn of his humility, patience, gentleness, and love. Then we build up our church, we build our English congregation, we build up VCAC, we learn how to serve each other so that we can serve the world. Unified in Christ for the Great Commission of Jesus.